be about it. Don't just talk about it, but be about it. Here at Love Fellowship, it's on the front of your bulletin every Sunday. Our vision is loving God, loving His Word, and loving people. Our mission, the way that's kind of fleshed out, is this church, Love Fellowship Baptist Church, a body of believers in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, exists empowered by the Holy Spirit to do God's will. Our mission would be preaching, teaching, worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, and application of the whole counsel of God as revealed in the scriptures for the glory of God and the spiritual growth of the body and the salvation of the lost. That's what we try to do. I want to do here at Love Fellowship. And, you know, you think about it for a moment. If anybody had a question in their mind, what should we be doing as the church, the organized body of believers? What should I be doing individually as a Christian? What should I be doing? What should be a top priority, a main priority for me? As you ask that question, who should you ask? You might say, who should I ask? Well, you should ask God. You should ask Jesus. You should, since we're the people of God, you should look to the Word of God to see what we should be majoring on. Because see, there's a lot of things that a lot of churches can do. There's a lot of things that we could do. Some of them are good and needed. Some of them might not be as good and needed. But one thing we do need to be about is what Jesus told us to be about, and that's to go into all the world and make disciples. He said it several times. He said it in Acts 1:8. We'll read that in a minute. He said it in Matthew 28 that I just read. He said it in Mark 16. So before Jesus left planet Earth, he wanted to make sure that his disciples, Peter, James, and John, those guys knew his mandate. He wanted me and you to know his mandate as well. So we should seek the words of Jesus. You know, Jesus, the one who is our creator. Jesus, the one who is our God. Jesus, the one who is our Lord, our Savior, our King. We should look to Him. Jesus, the one who is our rock, the one who is our joy and our peace. We should look to Him and say, Jesus, what will you have me to do? What will you have this church, Love Fellowship, to do? We should look to Him. Listen to Jesus. You know, Jesus, the one who bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It's by His wounds that we are healed. We should look to Jesus, the one who was wounded for our transgression, the one who was bruised for our iniquities. We ought to look to Jesus, the one who died on Calvary's cross for me and for you, was buried, but rose again. We ought to look to Jesus. He would give us the correct thing each and every time. Jesus, the one who is our mediator. Jesus, the one who is our high priest and our sacrifice. We should look to Jesus. Because you think about it, the body of Christ, duh, it belongs to Christ. We belong to Christ. He shed His blood for me and for you. He shed His blood for Love Fellowship. He shed His blood for Lookout Mountain Prayer. He shed His blood for the redeemed of God. So as we meet and ponder and plan and pray about what she would be doing, let's make sure that we are consulting Jesus. Let's make sure that we're clear on what Jesus said. He made it very clear. We're going to look at it this week and next week. He made it very clear what He would have you and me to be doing. So for some of us, this would be a kind of a review. You know, some of us, it would be a review. But maybe for some, this might be the first time you really heard this. I don't know. But we're going to talk about it this week and next week. So we want to just not talk about it, but we want to be about it. Say that to somebody. Don't just talk about it, but be about it. So we should be majoring on making disciples, right? Now, somehow over the years of church history, the last 2,000 years or so, somehow in a very crafty and a very subtle and a very sneaky way, the devil, our adversary, has gotten us individually and corporately as a church to major on a lot of other stuff. I mean, sometimes I grew up in the Christian church and I grew up in a Baptist church. Ebenezer Baptist Church. And I remember even now, my mother, who's 82 years old, who lives in Strong, Arkansas. When I talk to her now, almost every week or every other week, we had some kind of day in the Christian church. We had Men's Day. We had Women's Day. We had Usher Board Day. Usher Board number one day. Usher Board number two day. We had Senior Choir Day. We had Junior Choir. I mean, we had a lot of days. But I don't know how much we were learning and growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We had all kind of days. And then the unfortunate thing about these days, y'all know I'm not lying, people would fuss over what color dress we're going to wear, what color tie we're going to wear, all kind of old crazy stuff. Every day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I even had an older deacon, godly man. We were in a little meeting in a church I used to be a member of, and it was Men's Day, right? And I'm a young Christian, so I'm listening. We're in this meeting, these older guys, many of them I looked up to. And one of the deacons said, "Now we know why we had these days, right? We had these days to raise money." I was like, "Man, is that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible?" So we got to make sure we keep the main thing, saints. I'm just saying some churches get way off on different stuff. So we got to make sure we're consulting Jesus and looking at the Word of God. And say, okay, God, what will you have us to major on here at Love Fellowship? So let's look at a few of those things. In Acts 1:8, it's in your bulletin, but of course also it's in your Bible. You can turn there in your Bible or hit the e-device, but Acts 1:8, let's look and see what Jesus tells us to do. Listen to what Jesus said in Acts 1:8. He tells his disciples this. Once again, he's getting ready to ascend back up into heaven, about Acts 1:12 or so. That's when he goes on back into heaven. But before he leaves, look what he says, talking to his disciples and talking to me and you. He said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me," or some translations say, "you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth." Jesus said, "You shall receive power." Somebody say power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And if you are a Christian today, if you are born again today, if you are saved today, the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. None can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:3. So you don't have to wait for some second blessing or later on get the Holy Spirit. No, as a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. So Jesus, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So if you're taking notes, you want to write this out. We carry out this command to be a witness, Brother Olin, this command to make disciples. We carry out this command in the power of the Holy Spirit. We carry out this command in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in your power, not in my power, but in the power of God himself, in the power of Jesus Christ himself. So since he is empowering us, guess what? Guess what? We can make disciples. We can be good witnesses. We can plant and water, as Paul said. Paul said, "I plant and Apollos waters, but God gives the increase." So we carry out this mandate, this directive, in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit. So you can't be saying, "Well, I can't do it. I don't have enough strength." No, you rely and lean on God. Lean on Jesus. Jesus, help me to say some words about you. Help me to tell people what you have done in my life. Help me to articulate and explain the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be like Paul. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power unto God for salvation to everyone who believes, and also for the Jew first, and also for the Gentile." So you and I should be carrying out this great work of God, right? See, if you're going to work for the master, you got to have the power of the master. If you're going to serve God, you got to have the power of God. And once again, as a Christian, you and I have the power of God. Now, Paul said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So each and every day, as you get up, you might say, "Lord, fill me today. Control me today. Guide me today, dear Lord." Be his witnesses. He first says in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. Just a modern day application. That's your immediate context. That's like in your home. That's like in your neighborhood, on your job. Your Jerusalem is your immediate context, your sphere of influence. Those people that you come in contact with on a regular basis, that's your Jerusalem. For a church, our Jerusalem is East Chattanooga. Our Jerusalem is the city of Chattanooga. That's our Jerusalem. So God says, Jesus said, be my witnesses right where you are. You don't have to say, "Wait a minute, I'm going to go way over here." I mean, evangelism, being a witness, could be across the street or across the waters. So really, this what Jesus is saying really can go on concurrently. We can be his witnesses in your immediate context, your Jerusalem, here in Chattanooga. But also he says Judea. That's moving out a little further. We can look at that and maybe saying that's the state of Tennessee. Moving out a little further, carrying the good news, being a witness for him. Then also he even says Samaria. So maybe we can say that's moving on out a little farther. Like maybe this nation, United States or North America. And then he says to the end of the earth. So in other words, saints, we ought to be his witnesses everywhere. That's a good place for amen. We ought to be his witnesses everywhere, wherever we go, across the street or across the waters. We ought to be his witnesses. Now listen, somebody's already saying, "Well, how do I fit into this? How do I fit into being a witness for Christ and also helping to fulfill the Great Commission, making disciples? How do I fit in?" I'm glad you asked. If you're taking notes, You can fit in by you can pray, you can pay, or you can go. Pray, pay, and or go. Pray, pay, and or go. Or you can say pray, give, and go. See, everybody should be praying for the spreading of the gospel. I say everybody should be praying for the spreading of the gospel. The good news, you know, the gospel, the good news, the fact that Christ came and died for our sins according to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15. The good news, Christ died and was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. The good news of how you can tell people how they can go from being an enemy of God to being reconciled to God. That's good news. The good news of how a person can make sure they don't end up in hell, but they can end up in heaven. That's good news. Good news, a person can take off the blindness and come out of darkness into God's marvelous light. That's good news. Now, we talk about all kind of other stuff. I mean, I like college football more than the next person. But probably since yesterday and today, pro football stars today, we're going to probably talk about the game tomorrow or something. And that's okay. That's okay. But don't talk about the game more than you talk about the real game, the game of life, the eternal life game. So don't just talk about it, but be about it. So make an impact in your Jerusalem, in your Judea and Samaria. So you can pray, be praying for the lost. Pray for the loss. Then the second P, you can pay or give. You can pay or give. Evangelism and making disciples, typically it's going to cost something. We often talk about the three T's. It's going to cost maybe your time, talents, or treasures. If you're making disciples, a lot of times you have material. You got to go buy some books. Or if you're going to other places, it could be somewhere here locally or somewhere else that costs money. Like about a month or so ago when we had the back to school bash and we gave away stuff. It was free to them, but it wasn't free to us. So I mean, you can pray and you can pay. Don't get quiet on that part. You can pray and pay. So I thank God, though, for the opportunity to give, like Brother Jim shared with us some of the things that God is doing through RMNI, and we're thankful as a church we can help support them some monthly. But you individually, let me talk about you individually. Pray about, okay, God, how can I help the Great Commission? How can I be a witness? How can I make the gospel get out? Well, one thing is just think about it, pray about it. There are many missionaries that need some support. So you can say personally, me and my family, rather than going out to lunch, we're gonna give them $20 a month, $100, whatever it might be. We're gonna support this particular missionary. There are many mission groups like RMNI. You might say, I'm gonna help this group. I mean, pray and do a little research because all groups are not valid, unfortunately. But do some research and say, okay, I'm gonna help this particular ministry group out. That's gonna be part of my commitment to helping the Great Commission. I'm gonna give to this particular person. As a church, our prayers that we are able to give more. We are blessed now to help. We're helping six missionaries. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And we want to maybe as time go on, give them more and maybe help some more missionaries. That's one way as a church we can help get the good word out. I praise God for you all. When Pastor Chris came from the Philippines and we took up a special offering from him, and it was a nice amount of money. He was very elated, very grateful. He's over in the Philippines. So I thank God for that. Another way that we as a church can help pay and fund the Great Commission is as a Southern Baptist church, we have three major offerings each year. One is called the Golden Offering, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. And that money, the money from that, it's a leaflet in your bulletin about it. It goes to state missionaries. It goes to state missionary. We'll help to like people who are planting churches here in the state of Tennessee. It also has some mission and compassion ministry. So different things that money, the golden offering goes to. Also, once a year, usually around Easter, the Annie Armstrong offering that goes toward North America missionaries. So when we take an offering up here and other Baptist churches do it too, we send that money and they use that money to fund missions. Also, around Christmas time, we typically have the Lottie Moon offering. That's international missionaries. So as we take up these offerings, as you give, as you prayerfully give, say, God, what would you have me to give? That money helps. Perhaps God is going to use that money to bring somebody into the kingdom. God is going to use that money to help somebody grow in grace and grow in Christ. So that's one way that all of us can help in the Great Commission. We can pray, right? Say that with me, pray. And we can pay, right? And also, you can go. You can go. Now look, you don't even have to go that far. You can just go right down Artenab. You can just go right down Roanoke. You can just go. You can go in this area. Jim would probably be elated. You can go with him on the west side. every Thursday around 3 o'clock or so, they go out and share in the West Side. That takes time. They've been doing it for years, and finally, they got a little gathering. They have a Bible study as well. And so, but it's taken years to get to that. So don't be saying, well, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go to India. Where you can go just right over in the hood. You can just go right over to the West Side. They took Harriet Tubman away, so you can go to the West Side. There's always opportunities to go. So you can go to, you know, the West Side, or you can go to West Africa. You know, you can go wherever. But you can go. I can go. And if you've ever gone on a mission trip, it could be down the street. It could be in Knoxville. We took some kids in Knoxville last year. We've been blessed to go to Jamaica on a mission trip, a couple of mission trips. But wherever you go, I've heard this and I've experienced it now, Brother Rodney. Wherever you go, God definitely gives you an affinity toward that people group. It's like God knits your heart toward that people group. There was a pastor in Jamaica called me a couple of days ago. It's just great to hear from him. I'm sure GM just feels a great type of sense of love for the brothers and sisters over in Sudan. So pray, pay, and go, right? Y'all with me? Say that with me. Pray, pay, and go. That's how you can help with this individual, and also we as a church. We as a church. So our Lord and Savior commands us to be a witness to others. Let me, one other go right quick. In 2 weeks, we go into the community kitchen. So you can sign up and go to the community. I'm going to give you even more next week, but I'm just giving you some everyday applications to what we know God has told us to do, what we know Jesus has told us to do. And these are some ways that you and I can help strive to fulfill what God has told us to do. So go. Share the good news with that neighbor who you know is lost. In my neighborhood, I love my neighborhood, got some good neighbors, but when I'm leaving on Sunday morning, not all the time, but a lot of time I leave on Sunday morning, folks be cutting their grass and washing their car and all kind of, I said, unless all these people are Seventh-day Adventists, or they all go to an 8 a.m. or 6 p.m. worship, they need to know Jesus. So we don't have to go too far once again to share the good news. We all have family members, all of us have family members who are lost. And it's easy if we're not careful when we're around them and interacting with them. It's easy maybe not to bring up Jesus. Well, you know, something that causes a little conflict. But you know, say, God, show me how to show love to them. Show me how what to say when you want me to say it. But we don't have to go too far. What about that lost coworker? Just this past week, I had to go get a couple of tires. And so it was on Labor Day. So the main place where I go is they give you good deals. But the office was closed that day, right? And I had to stay out kind of near where they were putting the tires on. And I got back in the shade because it was hot. And, man, these guys that were putting tires on my car, they did a good job putting the tires on their car. But, boy, they were using bad language. I'm like, man, they need to know the Lord. They need to know the Lord. So we don't have to go too far to be able to see that people are lost. Roughly about 60% of this state is unsaved. 60%. That's 6 out of 10. That's a lot of folks. So tomorrow, the first 10 people you see, statistically, about 6 of them are on their way to hell. So we don't have to go too far to see, you know, we don't have a, you know, sometimes you trying to do something, man, I can't find anybody to sell this to or do that. Well, you don't have to go too far. Lost people are everywhere. So God has us planted everywhere to make a difference, to be salt and light. You can share the good news with that old, some of us had to go back further than others. Maybe that old, I call it the BC day, the before Christ day, that old person you used to hang with in college or high school or maybe after college, and y'all used to hang together and did all kind of ungodly stuff you knew God wasn't pleased with, but you run back into them and you met Christ, you're born again now, you've been saved and you live in a delivered life. You can tell them, how you like me now? And then you can share with them how God has changed your life. I mean, I know some guys, and someone might even say that about me. I know some guy that was so crazy in college, and through Facebook or something, or you run back across and somebody you see today, love the Lord now. I said, not him. He didn't get saved, did he? But there are people everywhere that need to hear about Jesus. People everywhere. You can tell them that now you are a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away. New things have come. And many of those people, may not have a whole lot of common ground with them now, but you used to have common ground with them. So God would give you an opening. It takes time. I mean, you have to build bridges. You have to build a relationship, a friendship. You can't just jump out on a person and say, that, you know, the spiritual laws, think they're going to get saved right then. No, it doesn't normally work like that. Matter of fact, you or I may not ever see anybody getting born again, but we are called to be faithful, to plant and water, to pray, and to share the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know God is the one who saves anyway. You or me, we couldn't save ourselves. How can we save somebody else? God is the one who regenerates. But he's called us to sow seed. He's called us to make disciples. Even if you see a person genuinely get born again, you and I still got a responsibility to disciple them. I mean, if you saw a baby and a baby came to you, just born, you wouldn't just throw that baby out and say, hey, make it the best way you can. Well, when a person first comes to Christ, you say, okay, brother, I'm going to walk with you a while. Or I'm going to point you to this group. Or I'm going to help you to grow. Making a disciple can get messy. I say it can get messy sometimes. That brother be calling you all the time. You look and see that call ID. Man, that's him again. But you pick it on up and pray with him and see what's going on in your life. But discipleship can get messy sometimes. But Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. He said, you will be my witnesses. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. He said, you are going to receive the Holy Spirit. Pete, just hang low in Jerusalem. We know in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. And he said, you all will be my witnesses. So the Lord said, be my witnesses. In Mark 16:15, you might want to write that reference down. Mark 16:15, Jesus tell his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So go into all the world and preach, proclaim the gospel to every creature, Jesus says. So go preach and go proclaim the gospel to everyone. Somebody already said, well, that's for the preacher then. That's for the pastor. Now, really, all of us can proclaim. All of us have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We're called ambassadors for Christ. So that command is not just for Peter and those guys, not just for the pastor or preacher or me and Brother Steve or Brother Bray. I mean, it's for everybody. It's for every born again believer. All of us have the ministry of reconciliation. I think we forget that sometimes. A lot of people say, well, I don't know where my gift is. I don't know where my talent. I don't know where I fit in. Well, the first ministry, one ministry you got, all of us got, is a ministry of reconciliation. Tell others how they can be made right with Jesus. What greater ministry than that? What great, think about the people that talk to me about Jesus, going back to my parents, and even I got saved as an early adult, those people who labored and you know, just came by and had Bible study with me. I can think of one brother particularly. He just come by all the time, lovingly sharing me with the scripture, telling me about Jesus. I will always love that brother because what he did, God used that. That was one of the people he used to draw me unto myself. So people can't say anything bad about that brother because that brother helped lead me to Christ. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to deposit into a person's life. Now, our first two verses, Matthew 28, make sure you're there. I'm just going to mainly cover 16 and 17 this Sunday. Now I go to 18, 19, and 20 next week. So you got to come back next week. But even before we get to that, because this is what I call just Christianity 101. It's kind of like the story about Coach Vince Lombardi. And like I said, it's football season, so I use a football illustration. Matter of fact, as I see Aaron, I was looking through the paper yesterday and saw where Aaron Crowder scored 3 touchdowns. I said, man, Aaron trying to run the ball. Amen. He scored 3 touchdowns. But the story goes that Vince Lombardi, who ended up being a professional football coach, he went to the Green Bay Packers. They had a sorry team. They couldn't block, couldn't tackle. No, you don't know anything about football. You got to block, but you got to tackle. And it's a sorry team, the Green Bay Packers. But they hired Vince Lombardi, the story goes. And Vince Lombardi goes into the room with all these NFL football players who probably been playing football since Little League, probably played through middle school and high school and college. And this is what Lombardi tells them. Envision this being a football. Now here he is now, once again, in the room with all these NFL football players. And he told them, he said, this gentleman is a football. What was he saying? He said, hey, I don't care what y'all learned before, but we're going back to the basics. Listen, I don't mean it's irrelevant. This, my brothers and sisters, is our football. This is a Bible. This is the Bible. So this is what we go by. And Jesus says several places, Acts 1, Matthew 28, go and make disciples. As you are going, make disciples. So individual, corporate as a church. If we're majoring on a whole lot of other stuff, are we majoring on the wrong thing? Now, obviously, there are many methods, other stuff we do, but to get to that point, but you and I need to be majoring on making disciples. That's what Jesus said, right? That's what Jesus said, right? I'm not just making this up. It's not my message. I'm just a herald. I'm just proclaiming or saying what thus said the king. I'm just the news carrier. Verse 16 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. This passage, once again, we call it the Great Commission, but some churches, some Christians have treated it like the Great Omission. Not the Great Commission, but the Great Omission. And really, before we can try to fulfill the Great Commission, first let's deal with the Great Commandment. Jesus gives us the Great Commandment. Here it is, here it is. They were asking Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, here it is, I'm going to give it to you real simple. He said, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Jesus said, give God all you got. And then he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. So as you and I, powered by the Holy Spirit, begin to do those things, loving God with all we got and loving others as ourselves, we're positioned and poised to help fulfill the Great Commission. But you can't get to the Great Commission until first you get to the Great Commandment. Y'all with me? So the Great Commission, once again, is Jesus said, they went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. If you're taking notes, these disciples, they finally kind of getting it a little better now. They were obedient. They were obedient. You be obedient. They were obedient. They went to the place that Jesus had instructed them to go. They were obedient. They were positioned just where Jesus had told them to be positioned. Now, see, if they would not have gone here, guess what? They would have missed seeing Jesus, at least in this spot. Maybe, just maybe, the reason you're not really seeing or hearing Jesus, just maybe you're not where he tells you to be. Maybe you're not doing what he's telling you to be doing. I mean, if he's giving you a clear directive to do something, you need to be doing that thing. Don't be saying, well, what? I need to hear something else. No, just do whatever he's told you to do the last time. I mean, be where he's told you to be. Be positioned where he's told you to be positioned. And then you may hear and see him more clearly. You know, you got to be doing what he's told you to be doing. You got to be about it and not just talk about it. So they came, they met Jesus there. And look at what happened in verse 17. When they saw him, when the disciples, Brother Steve, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. So if you want to talk about how can I help fulfill the Great Commission, how can I be a better disciple, how can I be a better follower of Christ, worship Jesus. Worship God. Worship him. You know, it's been a little while now, but I was up here at this convenience store right on the corner of Wilcox and Dotson. And, you know, some of these cults, they change their tactics. So I'm there just minding my own business, heading back to my car, really, and this older gentleman approaches me. And I was thinking to myself, well, look, he's about to gonna try to sell something or going to ask me for some money. I don't know what. But he approached me. He began to engage me in conversation. Long story short, he was a Jehovah's Witness. And he was an older guy. So you can tell, I could tell he was well-versed. He knew his stuff. That's why I say we got to be people of the word. You know, we run into all these people who are not Christian. They need to know their little stuff. We got the truth. So we got to know our stuff. So he began to run off all this stuff. I was just listening. I was praying. I was listening. And so finally, I asked him a question. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, is God the only person that should be worshipped? Oh, he quickly said, yeah. I said, well, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know, they changed their Bible around a little bit, but some of their verses are the same as our verses. I said, well, you know, if you get time, in Matthew chapter 28, it talks about how the disciples encountered Jesus and they worshipped him. And he did not say, oh, quit worshiping me. So I said, well, you know, if God is the only one that can be worshipped, why did Jesus receive worship? And then I pretty much just left on, went on away. I could tell that puzzled him. But maybe I'll see him again soon somewhere. But you know, we worship Jesus. He is God the Son. He's God of very God. He is God of very God. So we do what they did. We worship Jesus. Don't try to work for Jesus until you first worship him. Are y'all with me? Let me repeat that. Don't try to work for Jesus until you first worship him. Because if you are a worshiper of God, if you are worshiping the Lord, you can't help but to do some work for him. Work should flow out of your worship. I like what the Westminster Confession of Faith said. What is the chief end of man? What should you and I be doing? What is the chief end of man? It's to worship God and to enjoy him forever. Isn't that good? That's not totally in the Bible, but that's kind of a paraphrase from the Bible. We got to worship God and enjoy him forever. Do you enjoy the Lord? Do you enjoy Jesus? Nobody can do you like the Lord. Nobody can do you like Jesus. Enjoy Jesus. Worship him, serve him, obey him, follow him. And as you're doing those things, there is joy in serving the Lord. I said, there is joy in serving the Lord. Five or six of y'all know what I'm talking about. There is joy in serving the Lord. Even in the midst of ups and downs. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations. I'm not trying to tell you it's not going to be any heartaches and ups and downs. Even in the midst of all that, there is joy in serving the Lord. There's joy in serving the Lord. So we should worship him on a daily basis. Brother Tyler, we should worship him on a regular. So worship him when you get up in the morning. Worship him on your way to work. Worship him on your lunchtime break. Matter of fact, Colossians 3 said, whatever we do, we should do our work heartily as unto the Lord. So even while you're working, that's a part, an act of worship. So now if you're slacking off and when the boss leave, you ain't doing nothing. That's not good worship. But work as unto the Lord. And then on your way back home, worship him on your way back home. And then when you get home in the evening time, continue to worship and praise him. And then when you get ready to go to bed at night, worship him and praise. And even while you're sleeping, try to worship and praise him even in your dreams. And then if you're blessed to wake up again in the morning, be like Jeremiah. Say, each morning I have some new mercy. So wake up worshiping and praising again. That's what the disciples did. They worshiped him. We just sang about it. Praise is what we do. I mean, we worship. We were created to worship him. I heard Brother Steve pray it earlier. We were created to be a disciple and to make disciples. We were created to worship him. But in the text, verse 17, latter part of verse 17, some worship him, but some doubt it. Some doubt it. You're going to always have some doubters. The young folks say, you're going to always have some haters. You're going to always have some doubters. Ask Nehemiah when he's trying to build a wall around. Ask Nehemiah, Sanballat and those guys. You're going to always have naysayers or some doubters. And you can't do that. You can't do it. You're going to always have some doubters. People going to tell you, you can't make a difference. You can say, hey, the devil is a lie. I can make a difference because God is with me. Jesus is inside of me. The Holy Spirit is Jesus in me. So I can, by his grace and mercy, make a difference. Check this out. These boys in Acts, you know, Peter, Paul, and those brothers, Peter and James and John, brother, people would see them. This is in the book of Acts. This is before cell phones. This is before iPad, before telephone, before TV, before radio. They didn't have any of that. But people would see them and they said, oh, there they go. There they go. Those are the men who are turning the world upside down. Now look, if that motley crew, if God can use them to turn the world upside down, surely there's enough of us in here this morning. It's enough of us in here this morning to at least turn Chattanooga upside down. Anybody with me? At least we should be able to turn Chattanooga upside down. Those brothers, God used them to turn the world upside down. Because see, when we're doing this, and this is more next week. But see, when we're doing this, it's like Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit is in us. When we're doing this, Jesus said, Lord, I am with you always. You're not doing it by yourself, church. You're not doing it. We're not doing it in our own strength. We got the Lord on our side. I said, we got the Lord on our side. And I dare you to pray a prayer like this. Say, God, this day, give me an opportunity to share the gospel. Give me an opportunity to share the good news. And I promise you, I don't think I've ever prayed that and God didn't give me those opportunities. He's going to put somebody across your path. It may be something as simple as, Tanya and I went out to eat yesterday, and, you know, I do this, I don't do it all the time, but sometimes at a restaurant when the waiter or waitress come to the table, it's kind of an easy door. You can just ask them something like, hey, are we getting ready to pray over our food in here in just a moment? Is there anything I can pray for you about? And then just see what the Lord does with that. You know, some people, like yesterday, it just throws them off. And then sometimes they'll come up with something. Or sometimes they almost pull up a chair beside you and say, oh yeah, I got a long list. Like, man, I hate I even asked. Just joking. So you never know. But those are opportunities. Just little doors. Just little doors that the Lord will open. You know, they're there all the time. We often miss them. I know I miss them sometimes. But just ask the Lord, Lord, have me, don't let me just talk about it. Let me be about it. Let me share. We got the truth. I said, we got the truth. We got the truth. Them boys that are down there on Wilcox and Tunnel, they got the lies. You know, the boys with selling them little newspapers and stuff. They got lies, but we got the truth. We got the truth. Them guys, we had to pray for them, pray that God would touch their heart. The guys riding those bicycles, they don't have the truth. We have the truth. I think I've shared this before. It's been a while. I should have been praying. I probably prayed some, but I saw the bicycle guys riding up and down this street. I said, yeah, they got their work cut out for them today, buddy. I shouldn't have said that, but I did. Hard ground. But now those people, they're going, I'm just saying, they're going out making efforts to share the what they unfortunately think is the truth, but it's not. But we have the truth. We have the gospel. We have the good news. And many of us are almost afraid or ashamed or scared to share it. And we got the good news. Right? Are y'all with me this morning? We got the good news. I don't know about you, but I had to preach the gospel to myself every day. Christ, he lived a perfect sin-free life. He was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sin-free life, went to Calvary's cross for me, was laid in a barrel tomb. He rose again with all power. I had to preach the gospel to me every day. And see, as more I preach it to myself, it's easier for me to share it with somebody else. The gospel, the good news. The good news. So some doubted. They said, man, they don't know. You're going to always have doubters. People are going to say, you can't make a difference. But you can make a difference. It's not just you, it's you and the Lord. People will say stuff like, this church, love, fellowship, a little bit of church, y'all can't make a difference, y'all can't make an impact, y'all can't make a difference. Well, we might be kind of small in number. We might be small in number. We serve a big God. We serve a big God. I know this church, I think it's about 50 members. I figured the name of the church, but Steve probably knows. God used them to send out all kind of Christian literature all over the world. It's only about 50 members in this church. And God used them just massively, send out all kind of good discipleship. So God, if it's you and God, that's the majority. Matter of fact, I'm not saying God can use any church, big in number, middle size, small. But oftentimes you look at the Bible, God likes to work with little numbers a lot of times. Matter of fact, he told Gideon, you got too many soldiers. They might mistake and think y'all did it. You cut them down. He went down about 10,000, I believe. He ended up with 300 soldiers. And the guy's, okay, y'all ready now. So God has a way of taking the little things or the small things or the quote-unquote, even like the disciples, people who weren't, fishermen and tax gatherers, and use them to do mighty and awesome things. And that way it's easy for even the lost world, even for the world, definitely for us believers. That was God that did it. I said, God did it. God did it. So it's clear, or it should be clear, our directive, our mandate, our assignment is to be witnesses for Christ, evangelize, share the good news with the lost. And then as people are coming into the kingdom, I really kind of put all that together, put discipleship and evangelism together. But as people are being born again, being saved, we are to help them to grow in the most holy faith. That's it in a nutshell. When people say, what should you be doing as a Christian? What should that church be doing? Well, we should be talking about Jesus. We should be sharing the gospel with those who are lost, those who are being saved. We need to kind of help make them to grow. And all of us, I often say this, y'all know this, all of us as Christians need to have at least three levels of people in our own lives. You need to at least have a Paul type of person in your life. Somebody that's helping to disciple you, pouring into you, more mature in the faith than you. Then you and I need some Barnabases in our lives. Maybe some people kind of right, kind of where we are, that we might can encourage one another, love one another, challenge one another. But then also, we need to have some Timothys in our lives. Some people who are helping to bring along. Paul said, this is Timothy. He said, the things which you have seen and heard in me, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So there it is again, saints. We are called to help pass on the truth, to help pass on the gospel. Like I said, it starts right in your own home with your own kids and grandkids, next door neighbor, co-worker. But we're called to pass on this wonderful truth. There shouldn't be any other thing. There shouldn't be any other thing more important than that in our lives. Now, a lot of other stuff, a lot of other good stuff would pull on you and try to draw our time away from the main thing. But let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. So as I bridge into even next week's sermon, I'm going to give you an assignment this week. I'm going to give you an assignment this week. You need to pray. Pray and say, Lord, give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity this week to tell somebody about Jesus. Give me an opportunity this week to share the good news, the gospel. See, if we're not careful, you know, for many of us, only people we know are other Christian people. Now, I'm not saying purposely run out and get with a lot of pagans, but I'm saying that's kind of a bad deal if the only people you know are saved folks. So if that's your case, it's more to ask God, bring somebody across my path that don't know Jesus. Most of us, though, already have those people around us. Family members, co-workers, neighbors, people that maybe your kids play ball together or something. So this week, that's your assignment. I'm going to ask you next week. Now, who prayed that prayer? Who did the Lord open up an opportunity for you? But this week, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, let me have an opportunity. Give me the words today. Give me the boldness. Give me the opportunities to share the good news. The gospel. You've told me to do it. You've commanded me to do it. So, Lord, help me this week. I mean, get imminent. Not 2 months from now. Matter of fact, help me today. Help me tomorrow. Help me this week to share the good news. To share the gospel. And again, saints, the seed is good. I said the seed is good. The word of God is good. It won't return to him void. This is good. And sometimes it hits hard and bounce here and there. But when you're sharing the truth, we're just being faithful. We're doing what God has called us to do. We know we're sharing the truth. The seed is good. Y'all know about the parable of the sower. You know, the seed was good in all four of those deals, but only one of them got received. But the seed is good. So again, that's your assignment this week. Share the gospel with someone. And Jesus has given us power, and the Holy Spirit is in us, so we have power to go and plant and water the word of God, plant and water the good seed. That's a tremendous opportunity. I said, that's a tremendous opportunity. I mean, you know, when we pray, sometimes we're praying and say, Lord, is this your will? You know how we pray sometimes, Lord, is this your will? See, you don't have to put that if this your will stuff in there on this prayer. Say, Lord, I know it's your will. You've told me to go and be a witness. You've told me to go and make disciples. So I know this is in your plan, dear God. So show me how I can do that. Show me where I fit in. Amen? That's our assignment. So when you leave here today, know that the gospel is the truth. It's the good news. And when you leave here today, say, I'm going to share this good news. I'm going to share this with someone else or several people. I'm going to share this wonderful gospel. Once again, that God sent Jesus. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, should not go to hell, but should have everlasting life. That's some good news. God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's some good news. That's some good news. That's some good news. That God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's good news. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's good news. We were all under condemnation. But now because we're in Christ, we're no longer under condemnation. That's good news. That's good news. Now that's great news. That's great news. That's great news. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's good news. That's good news. And we know, once again, it's God who regenerates. It's God who saves. But we're just called to go sow and pray and water and spend time with. But it's God who regenerates. We can tell people, even though you were dead in your trespasses and sins, you know, you were Ephesians 2, you were sons of disobedience. You were blinded by the God of this world. But God being rich in mercy, with his great mercy, he saved us. Matter of fact, by grace, we have been saved. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's good news. You need to ponder that, meditate on it, think on it, rejoice in that fact. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for the good news you have given us. We thank you for drawing us into a personal relationship with yourself. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you, dear God, for saving faith. And I pray now, dear God, that you would give us a greater heart and a greater yearning and longing to tell others about Jesus.